The Presentation Podcast is in its seventh season, and this is episode 175. The world is all about AI. Interestingly, PowerPoint has been integrating AI-powered features for several years, like PowerPoint Designer starting in 2016. But Microsoft Copilot is something much bigger. This episode is very exciting. Kim Denny, head of product for PowerPoint at Microsoft, talks with us about Copilot and our AI presentation future.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in not balmy, but overcast and cloudy Southern California.
Well, welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in balmy Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in sweltering Montclair, New Jersey. So I got that one up on you.
Everybody's got the weather report now.
Okay, well, let's take a pause here. And before we get into a really exciting conversation, guest from Microsoft and, somebody at the upper levels of PowerPoint is great. But, Nolan, I think you just got back in town. I'm just getting ready to leave. What's happening?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of travel, been out of town on a couple of trips. And unfortunately, that's why I had to miss this conversation. So we're doing the intro now with me, but recording that after the fact. I missed the conversation, but I will be, when this drops, I will be on a plane again off to Creative Pro Week listening to this conversation, which I was sad to miss, but eagerly looking forward to. I'll be out next week or this week when this drops in Phoenix for Creative Pro Week, giving a couple of sessions on surprise presentation, but also soaking up some other Adobe knowledge. The house is starting to get back to normal. Woo! I think is starting to, as the renovation nears the end, as everyone has promised me. In terms of work, the current theme for me seems to be long lost clients. I've got a handful of projects in process or starting from clients or client contacts who we haven't worked with like in ages. And I don't really know what that means, except to say that it never hurts to check in with clients. Don't write them off.
That's a great observation. Hold on. Hey, Lori, what year was the client you just put the bid out for the last year we worked with them? Yeah. Yeah. We're putting one that called us up just out of the blue from 2018. We had to go back into the archives to find the original project. It's a full template, corporate template, and they want to do a full update. And I'm like, Nolan, it must be a theme going on right now. I didn't know it was anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe still like post-COVID getting back to normal. Who knows? I just got an email from a client about a design proposal I gave them 9 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
The email was, when can we get started? I was like, okay. yes, we can. Let me remember who you are. Just booked a training for a proposal I delivered 5 months ago and had written them off. They're like, okay, guess they're not interested. But they're like, let's do it. So don't write anybody off. And I do find that presentation needs come and go for certain, people in our business. Just like being a plumber, I guess, you don't always need them, but when you need them, you need them.
I'm always at this point, maybe because of where I am in my career, I get these emails that ask, are you still doing PowerPoint? That's how they say it. Are you still the clients I worked with years ago? Well, of course I am. What else would I be doing? But
you never know. In the digital space, people change.
Exactly.
And we have colleagues who sort of transition from one thing to sort of the next thing. So I think that's also kind of an apologetic way of saying, I know I haven't talked to you. I haven't reached out. I didn't respond to your last email, but.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've been talking about marketing because we've never marketed TLC Creative. I mean, a team of 11 people, constantly busy for the most part. And we're like, maybe we should do some marketing, but it's actually not for the presentation part. It's for the whole meeting space stuff that we do. Don't write anybody off because things come back. As a matter, we're working with a client right now that we worked with. We worked with them twice before. Once a year for one meeting a year. It's like, we should probably see what else they do during the rest of the year now that I think about it.
I was just thinking of a client the other day, thinking, you know what? I think he's working on a new book. He's my first lawyer client, and he writes books, big, huge legal volumes that, you know, cost as legal books do. Nolan, you know that. But I was thinking, I bet he's going to reach out to me soon. I know he's going to be publishing a book. And I swear to you, less than 24 hours later, he called me and we're working on slides for his next book release. I thought it was really fun. Now, otherwise, I hadn't heard from him for a couple of years. Hmm?
Do you read these books?
No.
I know. We won't tell anybody.
No, it isn't out yet. I mean, he was still writing it as we're working on the presentation.
My favorite definition of a lawyer is somebody who does homework for a living. That's why I was never gonna be a lawyer. That's gonna be my thing.
Wow. Homework for a living.
So Troy, who are you not writing off, and who are you?
Which
client books are you not reading?
Books are a whole other topic, but I am home this week. So this is the week before this drops, as Nolan referenced, which has been great. I've been doing lots of springtime home projects. So I'm actually a little bit sore from moving things and lifting things and doing, you know, just it's fun. It's great. Wouldn't have been saying that over the weekend, though.
Oh.
As this releases, though, I am in San Diego. I mean, I'm based in the San Diego area, but I'm down by the convention center. So down in San Diego City proper, large corporate event. Lori and I are sitting side by side managing the presentations for a 2,000 attendee general session. And then we have a team of six other presentation experts flying in, driving in, whatever it is, to manage the breakout rooms. And really, these breakout rooms, they're 200 to 600 people per session. So they're basically, you know, meeting general sessions in and of themselves. Plus, this is the part where, hey, I'm a little bit sore. I've already said this. We're supplying all the presentation show computers for this event. So that whole team of six, you know, where Lori and I are, we have 6, 7, 8 computers alone just to run all the graphics.
Oh my.
I volunteered. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm driving down. I'll bring the Jeep, the bigger car. And I've got 9 Pelican cases with 22 laptops and power supplies. And I might be a little sore moving those around. Like, why did I volunteer to do this? I'm the owner of the company. All PowerPoint, except two. We do have two Mac Keynote. We have two MacBook Pros for Apple Keynote. Because that's out of all the presentations, only one has requested it. So I don't know if that's right in trend.
I think it is right on trend.
Sandy, what about you?
I continue to love what I do. Most recently, I think I mentioned earlier that I did some day-long training. And the good news is that has turned into a series of lunch and learns. They want me to come back and dive in deeper.
Oh, nice.
There is no way, I think, you can cover PowerPoint training in a day. When I first created my training, it was 3 days long. So most people just don't have that kind of time anymore. So anyway, coming back, I'm in the middle of writing the proposal for these lunch and learns. I'm really excited about it. It was a very good group. Let's see what else.
The lunch and learns, because I'm curious about this, are you doing like topic-based? So they're like nuggets of information, like a 45-minute lunch and learn. You got 15 minutes of kind of question answer, and then you have like a topic, or are you doing them as a series where they build on each other? How do you think?
You know, I think that both could work, but I was thinking topic, but many of them would be related to how do you proof your presentation before it's done?
Oh.
And that's things like, then you use the alignment tools. You check how things are aligned on your grid. You make sure that your placeholder, your content is in placeholders, and you know things that they should have been doing before, but I'm coming at it from a different angle. Before you send this out, and you want to make it reusable, you want to make it, because they
That's
do training
topic series.
I think it'll be fun.
I did them all as mechanical things. We did them very, I found topic based versus series, because if somebody missed it, they felt like they missed it and they had a hard time catching up. So I ended up switching to lunch and learn, you know, nugget based topics where they're kind of standalones.
And we have limited time, right? And they are preoccupied. These will all be online, I'm pretty sure. But so I need to make them quick and succinct, pithy. I am working on assets for an upcoming conference, very little of which is presentation related. The client wants all of the print tools including name badges, posters, all of that done in PowerPoint. So that's what I'm creating. It's a fun, nice little twist. I do have a few presentations that I have to work on, but it's kind of nice.
PowerPoint is so flexible. It really
it is. It's so flexible. And you know what? That reminds me, and I guess I could have brought this up in news, but I just want everyone to be aware that, you know, our last episode featured fixes, Microsoft fixes that we wish would happen in PowerPoint. When I requested that information on LinkedIn, we received 180 some wishes. So the three of us have put together that list. And in our next episode following this one, you will probably be featured, if you contributed, be featured in that episode. We're going to go through all of them.
I know we're just rambling now, but I got your Excel link, the Excel Online. Mm-hmm. I'm so disappointed you can't put checkboxes in to Excel Online because you don't have the developer tab. You know, you go into developer and you go into, you know, you put a little check. I want to put little check marks for which ones we wanted to choose. And it's like, I know how to do this. And I was very disappointed because, you know, you own it. So I don't have access to, you know, open it in PowerPoint. There's a slip. I don't have access to open it in full Excel. I can only edit it online. I know exactly how to do the checkboxes. And so there you go, Microsoft. I just found a little limitation to the online version that I like.
Has nothing to do with that's the only, well, it is I'm sure the that's depth. The only limitation.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Okay, let's move over to some news.
All right. Well, the second printing of the Better Deck has arrived on the shores after a long voyage, and it is shipping now. There aren't any content changes, really, other than a fixed typo or two. But there's a brand new super awesome coding on the cards that makes spreading them out and sorting through them much easier. So they're still available at thebetterdeckdeck.com and Amazon. And the author told me, I heard, that even if you didn't purchase it from Amazon, he would really appreciate a short review there anyway. So, and if you order it from the website, you can use the code podcast for a big discount. So you definitely want to order it from, not through Amazon, but put your review there. Okay, end of plug. Sandy.
No, that's a great plug. Well, here's another plug, but I think both of you might be presenting at the Presentation Summit in October. So to that point, the Presentation Summit is going to take place in person on October 15 through 18 in Monterey, California. It's the Asilomar State Beach.
Mar meaning ocean in Spanish.
I love it. $1,495, that's $1,495, will get you access to all seminars and workshops on site, powerful networking in an intimate setting. I guess it really, really is. I've never been to this place, but I've heard it's just wonderful and secluded.
It's a beautiful area. The whole world just generally is.
Awesome. Well, and you get breakfast.
And it includes
and lunch
all meals, right?
So yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
And there's an all-inclusive resort package for a very simple
You come
simple
away with
resort.
A lot of stuff, but
get
say
to
you
hang
can't
out
make
with me.
Yeah,
and Troy and
I'll
Sandy.
Be there, but I'm not presenting.
You get to hang out with all of us.
Yes, you get to hang out. We're there.
It's the priceless.
Podcast will be well represented. The virtual event, if you can't make it to California, the virtual event is November 5 through 8, and that's $595, and that includes all keynotes, seminars. And
the virtual event is not, this is what was interesting. I really like Rick Altman, director of the thing, the Presentation Summit. He's going in a unique path here. He's doing a retreat style, which is really funny. I just heard of another design retreat happening from another company, very small. And it's, I was like, wait, this word retreat is really coming in. But the virtual one is not a replay of those sessions. They are entirely new presentations. So if you're doing talk at the in-person, you may repeat it for the virtual, or you may get something totally different and new. So I think it's a really, I'm really excited to see how this works out. In the other conference news, if you want to think ahead, Adobe Max happens October 10 to 12, and it has a virtual component. I really think they stepped it up on the whole virtual side. Some of their, they did during the whole shutdown of the world time period, their keynotes and stuff, they were full produced events. They looked fantastic, but it's also in person. One of my one of my life goals is to attend Adobe Max for the entire duration with the all access pass, because there's just so much going on there. It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Anyways,
there's
another
one. I would love to do that too. I've often thought about it.
What else we got?
What else we got? We got ChatGPT having been launched for iOS, which is a super simple direct interface. It's just like, yeah, launch the app and just start typing and start doing whatever you do with ChatGPT.
But it's, and it's that totally nice makes sense to me, yeah. Because if you're listening and you're not familiar with the whole GPT, generative prompt text thing, if you can send a text message, you can do ChatGPT. And phones are made for text messaging, so it makes sense that that interface is there. What else we got on the news front? We got a few more things. We have a good conversation.
Okay, well, did you guys see the beta release of Generative Fill in Photoshop?
Oh, yeah.
It's so amazing. We've been using it for live projects. Three of our designers, we just had a team meeting where they each demoed some of their work. It's amazing.
It is. If you haven't, you can download the beta at adobe.ly/Firefly.
And it's separate app from Photoshop.
Well, it's like Sensei. It's built into Photoshop. You don't know, you haven't left Photoshop. You literally click just another option within Photoshop and it brings up the dialog box and you start doing it. I actually didn't know. I mean, because we have Creative Cloud. I didn't realize that it was available to everybody.
I thought the beta is a separate app. No,
it is. Well, I have two versions of Photoshop installed. Right, I have Photoshop 2023 and I have Photoshop beta. There's no year listed on it. It's really funny.
Let's see. We have an improved accessibility ribbon. I believe this has come to Windows and Mac. It's got a bunch of, some new smoother things and better UI, but there's one feature that I really like, which is being a Mac user, which is view in black and white. So PowerPoint's on the Mac, on the PC, has always had a black and white view, so you could see how things would print like in a black and white printer. Mac never had that, but now through the review tab, the accessibility review tab, there is a button that will turn everything black and white. And I just, I literally just started using it. I was making a sort of a flow diagram for a client, and it had to be, printable in black and white. So, every time I changed a color or did something, I would view in black and white. And it was like, okay, are these distinct enough for the legends? Because they're, different types of boxes. And eventually I couldn't get it to quite work. So I had to, put a dotted outline on certain ones, which works for accessibility, and so they could be differentiated. But yeah, just like click on. And without that, I would have been flying blind, I think, without a PC. So there's a, there's some other stuff in there. Have you played around with it?
No.
it's not like brand new, but there's just a few little additions here and there. So
no, that's really, really cool. Yeah. Microsoft Build was held a couple weeks ago when we originally recorded this with our guest, and that's today's conversation. But that day, Microsoft announced several public announcements. A thing they're calling extending copilots with an S with its data, responsible AI, which I was really glad to hear about. Now, I haven't read anything that was published about their responsible AI, Copilot for Windows 11, and I know, Troy, you had some questions about that, and Bing plus ChatGPT, which we just brought up. So relatively, this is old news, but it's relevant to our conversation today.
Last two things, John Schwabish's latest book, Data Visualization in Excel, which of course applies to PowerPoint as well.
I love his title.
Yeah, same What's charting
a wonk?
Engine.
Are we wonks? I'm not an Excel wonk. Sandy, it's beginners, intermediates, and wonks.
That's right. It's the full title
is
Data Visualization in Excel, a guide for beginners, intermediates, and wonks. Yeah. So I think geeks. I think nerds.
I know what he's implying, but I haven't used that term before.
This is really funny.
So that's now shipping from Amazon, although I have not received mine yet. I pre-ordered it, so hopefully it'll be in the mail any day. The last item is Creative Pro has an updated brand identity and a really cool post on how it came to be.
That story.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing that at the conference, and there's still, it still looks familiar, but it's but it's new. And it's a, I always love just reading, you know, how designers got to where they got. So there's a nice, we'll include the link to that. And that's all I got.
AI. The world is all about AI at this particular moment in time. PowerPoint, on the other hand, has been integrating AI-powered features for several years. PowerPoint Designer, starting in 2016, then Presenter Coach. Then we can move over to Microsoft Teams with Speaker Coach and Microsoft Designer Site. By the way, that's a lot of designer and coach in names for one company for things that don't totally correlate or relate to each other. Maybe this new AI generation can help with some feature naming as well. Well, now Microsoft has Copilot. Huge kudos for a unique name that is also probably the best marketing name in the entire AI space, truly. But it's something bigger, and it's more evolved. It seems to be getting bigger every day. So what is Copilot? How is AI from Microsoft going to change the way we work? More importantly, how do we officially capitalize Copilot? No one seems to know in any article I read. In addition, the Microsoft Build event is happening as we record this. So there have been some amazing announcements on Copilot and AI from Microsoft's vantage point. They've just been released. So this conversation is literally on the cusp of public information. We are very excited for this conversation with our guest, Kim Denny of Microsoft, about all of these things.
Awesome, Troy. I am so excited to introduce our guest, whom I was able to meet in person for the first time last month at the Microsoft MVP Summit, where she made it clear that she is passionate about creating product experiences that solve creative users' jobs. That's us. That's PowerPoint. Kim, tell us about yourself, your background, and your journey that has brought you into our circle, our MVP circle.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I want to start off by thanking you both and Nolan for inviting me to join you today. I am incredibly excited to be here talking with you both. Love to listen to your podcast. I learned so much. It's oftentimes very humbling to listen as I hear multiple perspectives, not only from the three of you, but also your audience and what your audience shares. It really is. It's valuable to me as, you know, in my role of head of product at PowerPoint. It's valuable to our entire team. And I love how it keeps the conversation going about how important creativity and stories and presentations really are. So I just thank you for this opportunity. And I very much look forward to continue talking with you and hearing from your audience as well. So a little bit about me. Right before Troy started the record button, I gave a warning about, you know, I'm working from home and who knows who in the Denny family, whether human or canine, might interrupt us. I am a proud mother of two kiddos. One is 18 and just graduating from high school.
This year, not college.
Yes, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for high school. And when we'll start high school next year. Have an amazing husband and two dogs. And my family keeps me really busy when I'm not focused on my job, which is at Microsoft, head of product for PowerPoint. I've had a great journey at Microsoft over about the last 15 years, where I've had the opportunity to work on many of our major products. Started out in actually the entertainment and devices division. So that was where Xbox and Zune, if you remember Zune, and Microsoft TV was. Yeah, that was a really great time and an entry to the high tech and IT industry. I've spent time in office about a decade ago. Actually, I was a design manager for Office products, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint when we had a central design organization. I've spent time in Windows and in Azure. And right before joining PowerPoint, actually about a year into the pandemic, I was accountable for performance and reliability on the Edge browser and had the opportunity to work with the team there to release the first customer-facing performance features. And that was a really exciting journey and, you know, finding a way for such a traditionally technical area to actually create new user value for the Edge browser. So that was really cool. Before Microsoft, I was actually in the transportation industry. I have experience in the healthcare industry, and then also in capital construction. So it was, I have a really eclectic background that I love. The thing that I love to do is help people solve problems for people. And then in my spare time, I love to garden. I'm a writer. That is my creative outlet. And so at times, I think it's a little interesting that a writer becomes head of product for such a visual-based application. But I love it. So a little bit about me and hopefully wonderful. 60 seconds or less.
Well, I learned a lot.
Yes, wow. That was wonderful.
So writing is storytelling.
Yes,
you're all
it
about
is.
Your quadrant element that I can't describe anymore was
vertical.
Storytelling centric. It's very exciting, folks. Yeah. She is definitely on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. 100%, 100%.
I didn't know about your background with Edge.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I have a little side tangent. I've been using Edge quite, so they integrated Outlook as a little, I don't know what you call the little sidebar on the right, but here's how I use it. It's very unique. When we're at a lot of corporate clients, so we have access to their, you know, we're within their Microsoft ecosystem. So like Teams Elements. So we have multiple tenants that we manage, which is not a thing I'm going to talk about. But when I'm at a, because I'm still managing, you know, I have to still be logged into my company's one because one, that's where we're hosting a lot of the files and our communication on other projects. But Edge has become such a great thing. So I log in to, you know, go to teams.microsoft.com, log in with those credentials of that company. And then you click the Outlook button and you're automatically logged into that Outlook because they all correlate. It's very, very cool.
I've hesitated to do that. Okay. Now,
But then I still have my Teams app and my email within my tenant, which is TLC Creative. Anyways, it's been like this amazing synergy of, it's really, really helped my workflow when I'm working with these clients. I feel like, okay, so
that's you're doing exciting. Just one point of clarification. You are doing it when you are in their tenant.
Yes.
Okay. I like.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's how we're opening up. And we do this all the time now. We just open up, anyways, we just need more browsers to be with different credentials. But anyways, that little integration on Edge is, and that's got to be the reason I thought of that is that's got to be a big performance thing. Cause I've taken note. I'm like, we're working through the web browser Edge. Mm-hmm. We have the Teams, the web-based version of Teams open. We have Outlook, the web-based version open. A lot of times I'm opening files within it and I'm like, wow, I have like 9, 10, 12 tabs going for this one company and I'm not missing anything. It's it was side note and kudos.
Awesome.
Okay, to get us on track, I just read an article yesterday from MSN. So, you know, it's a reputable place. and it was all about AI and Copilot. I'll put a link to it in the show notes for anybody that's interested. But I have two call-outs from that article to start our conversation. Call out number one, and these are just basically with two different paragraphs. Call out number one, Microsoft is adopting the same open plugin standard that OpenAI, most everybody knows OpenAI as a company, uses for ChatGPT to ensure that it'll work alongside its Windows 11, 365, and other co-pilots. So one, I keep hearing more and more, and every time I think I got a handle on this, it gets bigger. So now we're using the phrase co-pilots. This is my first time using it as a
noun.
I don't know what it is. It's a noun now.
Not a brand.
It's a verb. That. And then the second one was co-pilots are applications that are AI and LLM, large language models, to help users with complex tasks like writing a sales pitch, generating images, and more. For example, ChatGPT on Bing is actually a co-pilot. And Microsoft has launched co-pilots for Microsoft 365, Microsoft Security, among others. Each time I think I have a grasp on what's happening in AI and productivity and co-pilot, something bigger is mentioned. And, you know, like this article. So the big question is, what is co-pilot and how do we encapsulate it like as an overview, a definition or a description, Kim?
So really, really great question. Like, what is all this and what does it mean to me? And I'm actually going to go back to something you just said about Edge, right? And Edge having this capability and recognizing the fact that you have a role to play and you've got a set of credentials and access and things that you need to do for a client for a certain job while also working for your company and keeping, you know, all of that on track as well. Like, humans, we do many, many different things and we have many, many different roles that we play. And for a long time in technology, you know, it really, really was all about the human learning the tech, and that was your value. And if you knew the tech well enough, then you could make it work for you. And I think what we're seeing now is technology is in this place where we have new advancements in not only AI, like with the increase of large, you know, the introduction and then the increase in the capabilities of the large language models like GPT and ChatGPT is the way that that you interface, you know, with that on OpenAI. But we really have, you know, this opportunity to do more for people. And so how can technology be present in ways that actually help, you know, your life, Troy, be better, whether you're at work or at play or relaxing, you know, new creative ideas that you can put into not only building and developing your own company, you know, but helping your clients or helping, you know, enjoy a celebratory moment that might be coming up in your life as well. And so that's what I think we're seeing today is really furthering the capabilities of technology, being able to recognize what are you trying to do and how can tech help? And how can tech help in a way that is most natural to you?
Awesome.
Awesome. Troy, you just mentioned, and I just want to bring this up because this comes from our audience, our listeners. Mm-hmm. Can you help us set the record straight? How is Copilot spelt as in Microsoft Copilot? And then as Troy also mentioned, yesterday, all of a sudden, for the first time from Microsoft Build, we're hearing about Copilots, lowercase. So let's talk about something really basic, the spelling and the use of Copilot and Copilots.
Yeah. So great question. Copilot with a capital C, if you're going to capitalize it, no capital P. You know, I heard a little bit that, wow, there's a lot of designers out there and there's a lot of speaker coaches out there with Microsoft. And like, yep, we earned that. You know, ribbing well earned there. And so I will say, you know, Copilot, capital C, lowercase c, you know, no capital P, and maybe we don't care how you spell it so long as you like you come to us, come to Microsoft to have us help you out.
I've read so many articles where it's in different ways of spelling it. And I was doing the capital C, capital P at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of like a couple of months ago at the most. And then I started reading like, oh, maybe it's all lowercase. And then I'm like this and that. And then on different, you know, even on different Microsoft sites, it's spelled differently. I was like, It's exciting. It's a little branding style guide thing. We're kind of into that around here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for Nolan. Nolan couldn't be with us today, as if you listen to the last episode, he is busy experiencing a full day drive from up, you know, Jersey down to where was it in the city? He was going south.
The Carolinas. I can't quite remember.
With his kids, it'll be fun and exciting.
My
kids everywhere. We drove to Colorado every ski season and went skiing for the week when they're little, but not twin 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds? Yeah, 5-year-olds, I think. Anyways, okay, here's my question from Nolan. And this is a really, really insightful thing. There are some people saying that AI is on par with the introduction of computers themselves, or on par with the introduction of the internet or HTML, even like the printing press. Where does Copilot sit in the history of PowerPoint, kind of in your view? Where do you think it's going to sit? Is it going to be this huge impact, a minimal impact, a remembered impact?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there is no doubt that this most recent disruption that AI has brought, and I say the most recent interruption of AI, because AI has been around actually for quite a while, but certainly large language models and what they are capable of has brought about a disruption that has really created one of the most exciting times in our industry. And for me, as someone who's been in the tech industry for a while now and really cares about storytelling, and why I care about storytelling is actually because of the way that it connects humans and what it enables humankind to do. This is the best job at the best time ever, because AI really enables us to actually unleash the human power, the humanity, the human creativity in all of us. And that for me is the potential of AI and how I see it impacting what PowerPoint can do for people. It is incredibly humbling to come in to a product that is now, over 3 decades old, be the newest head of product, taking the role from Sean Villaron, who is now our general manager, but has been an incredible leader who led PowerPoint forward, and take it into this new time. And when I joined, I thought, oh, how cool. There's, video has never been easier and more accessible. And oh, now there's these new challenges with flexible and hybrid work. Wow, this is massive disruption. And what an incredible time and possibilities for us to really help and empower creators and storytellers. And then last fall, here comes the first noises, whispers of the large language models and what we can do. And it's incredible. I have, this opportunity to, be part of, kind of a once in a lifetime
kind of a big
transformation.
Deal.
Yeah. Huh?
Like the printing press. Gutenberg, or whatever his name is.
let me be clear. I am not in no way, shape, or form comparing myself.
Oh, I know you're not. I get
Remember, I'm humble. But it is. I mean, it has the opportunity to have that big of an impact. And the printing press made communication more accessible, and made stories more accessible. And that's what we have in front of us. More accessible, not only in more people can create it, but you can create your stories, your visualizations, your presentations, also to meet the needs of your audience members. So we know people learn differently. We know that there are different factors competing for their attention, whether they are listening to a story, or a presentation asynchronously, or it's a video recording, or it's a large audience. Troy, a lot of your work is with really large audiences. And so with AI, it can help us find those ways to best connect with the audience members, tell those stories in a way that will increase engagement, their comprehension, their motivation to action. We all tell presentations to convince somebody of something or to make them feel a certain way. And we can really do that now better than ever before. And you combine that with scientific advancements in our understanding of neuroscience and the way that the brain works and all of those things. And again, like these combinations, they're just awe-inspiring.
Excellent. That makes me think of workflow, and I'm going to ask you a question about workflow in a sec, but I was speaking of that the other day, a client asked me for a very specific graphic approach. While I encouraged him not to use it, it was Back to the Future theme, and you know, mm-hmm. you can't use other commercialized, you know, he doesn't have permission to use those things. But in the meantime, I used AI first, ChatGPT, to write a prompt for me saying I wanted a slide background that is thematic of the has a Back to the Future vibe. I can't remember what I said. And it wrote this amazing prompt for me to plug into, I can't remember which graphic tool I used. But anyway, it generated three options in the theme that were very, very custom. I showed it to him, still not recommending that we approach it because with AI, I could not be sure where the graphics that put this together were sourced. So there's still that type mm-hmm. of potential limitation, or at least in my mind, and maybe I need to think bigger. But that brings me to the whole workflow. And how will AI/Copilot be incorporated into our daily flows with Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, and of course, PowerPoint? Answer what you can, understanding that this product is still evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great question. And, you know, I feel a little bit like when I listen to podcasts about workouts and workout routine or nutrition, like, it depends. Always ask your medical
doctor.
ask your doctor. So in one sense, but it's true. Like it depends. It depends on, you know, it depends on the user. It depends, you know, are you working for a big corporation? Are you a one person shop and business owner? Are you celebrating a life of it? My son is, you know, about to graduate from high school, and we're going to have a celebration, you know, for him with family and friends. And we're going to use, you know, PowerPoint, for example, to put a bunch of pictures together and not only reminisce over doing it, but I'm hoping to embarrass them just a little bit, you know, it's a mom's job to do that. And so what that workflow looks like with or without AI is different. And then with AI, it's new and we're figuring it out. And it is really interesting and difficult, frankly, to keep up with all of the news and everything happening, the policies around and policy discussions around AI and creation and ownership and rights. And so that's critical for us to be thinking about and figuring out. And then how do we communicate to the user so they know what they're producing and is it correct? And if not, what to do about it?
Bottom line is, it depends on where you work, how you work, what your needs are. That's a hard answer to give us, but we do have some, I think it'll be helpful. There's some links to the Microsoft blogs in the show notes that will help us understand that, you understand that. I encourage you to link to those.
So Kim, let's talk about how Copilot can, it can create content in PowerPoint. And I know that's been the big wow, the big media is like, hey, look, I can give a prompt and I can make a presentation, but I also kind of want to touch on what about modifying existing content? Because that seems to be, to me, that's a bigger realm of use, not as wow factor. So tell us, give us a little insights of what you're seeing and what the future might hold and how exciting and fun this is going to be or is not going to be.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we hope it's exciting and fun. Like there's an opportunity.
Well, I'm excited, so.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And one of the cool things, just as another quick aside, like that's so cool about PowerPoint is oftentimes that it's the connections that you get and the creative ideas that you get while working on your idea in PowerPoint. And so one of the things that we always strive to do with or without AI is how do we keep as much of your focus and attention on your idea and what you are trying to communicate and how. So how does that look? How does it feel? What's the language look like? What are the, you know, do you have a really strong narrative? Do you have a story? Is it clear what you're trying to do? Are you working towards those outcomes? And you get started, you create something, right? Everyone has to create that first draft, no matter how terrible it is. And then you modify it. And through modifying it, you also deepen your understanding. You can personalize it, make it more authentic. So all of that is part of your workflow. And you know, Satya has said several times now that one of the great promises of AI that we see it delivering is it's removing the drudgery and really enabling more space for creativity. Mm-hmm. So one of my things that drives me crazy when I see it in a PowerPoint, for example, is when the title jumps like just a couple pixels from slide to slide.
They're not using their slide masters.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I understand.
Yes. And how much more effective it is when you don't have that title bounce from slide to slide. Mm-hmm. But one, as a user and as a non-professional, or when non-professionals use those slide masters and those templates built by professionals, or there's a presentation that was beautifully done and you just needed that one last minute change and you didn't realize that, you know, how it was going to affect the overall experience. You click slide to slide and have to make sure, and you need to correct it again, you know, over and over again. This is not human creativity at place when you are, you know, aligning all of the slide titles in the same place. That could be considered drudgery. I hate to admit that about a product, like, my product has places that are just pure drudgery for you. I'm also, again, humble enough to know that that's absolutely the case. And a great product, we're looking for those areas to, again, make it not only as simple and easy and intuitive to use, but truly it's about the story. It's about helping you create the strong narrative, those strong visuals, gain confidence in your delivery of that presentation. People are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death. Like, people are entering, many people, you know, the creation process of a PowerPoint already under stress. So how can we remove that stress? How can we make them feel more confident? And that is not only in the initial creation, but then as they modify that presentation as well.
And I think that's a part missing from a lot of what's being put out there right now, is that it does have the ability to aid and modify. Although I have not heard it talk about being the ability to make things fall within the, if you will, the guardrails of presentation design, which is what the master slides are all about, mm-hmm. is let's create some consistency. Because to your point, by the way, title bouncing is like a huge thing for me. It's a distraction, and any distraction is going to distract from the message, and people get into, you know, if you're in an audience and you're not fully engaged, as happens, anything that moves or doesn't look right, you end up dwelling on that. And suddenly you've created an element, or you've left an element in place that doesn't allow people to focus on it. So thank you for letting us know that there is more than the hype of what we're seeing in the little stinger videos and the demos, because those are exciting, but I don't think they're the bulk of that.
One of the things that we have in common from a product team and what we think about as quality and how we help people create really high quality, engaging stories is so much of what you know being professional presentation and creatives, that you know what those best practices are. You know what to look out for. You know what is most effective. And so we have, I would say, a responsibility as the really the owners of the PowerPoint product and experience to give those same, that same opportunity to our users, because you all have a critical role to play, and not everyone has the ability to work with professionals. And so how can we, again, that democratization a bit and really teach people how to make it great, how to build confidence in their story, how to deliver it confidently so they get better and better to reduce that stress. And we're PowerPoint, and we're also going to give people the freedom to do what they think is best, whether, you know, our professional design and creative friends cringe.
You know what? We do cringe, but when one of the first demos that I saw showed a beautiful resulting, it was just stunning. The document with the graphics and the fonts and the placement, the layout was beautiful in PowerPoint, but it was a document. And quite honestly, as much as I would hate to have a document presented, because we know that's not best practice, it was so beautiful that it's eons better than where they would have started. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's at least it's going to generate awareness of what it can be, but anything that can be done to differentiate between, as you, we've probably told you a million times, differentiate between a presentation and a document, we'd love that, you know? So it's really, really exciting. There's this great video online that kind of explains the whole process. Definitely we'll put a link into it. Troy, did you find this? I can't remember if it was Noel or Troy, but it's the one.
Which one?
That it explains how Microsoft will bring generative AI into the apps that we use every day.
Oh, yeah, that was one. Yeah, that's a really good one. It's a good overview. It's not super long, and it has a ton of information in it. I like it.
In general, it talks about how the apps are combined with content in your organization. So this means you're an organization that has a SharePoint site, probably. And that means you can do things like generate a PowerPoint presentation from a Word document, get instant analysis of your Excel data, or even ask for a summary of emails about a customer. I keep looking for that in my teams. When am I going to be able to do that? And how can I do that? But the video will take you through the full announcement. I think that was from...
It was an early one, but it's
March
still 16, really,
maybe?
Really,
really Yeah. It's a really cool one. So another question that comes from a recent announcement about Microsoft 365 Copilot is the early access program. I just wanted to bring it up because from what we understand, there are 600 paid partners who are testing Copilot. And all I want to say is lucky them. I mean,
it's not PowerPoint MVPs, folks. Just to let you know, we're not that anybody. Kim, this is really for your internal metrics and kind of pre-rollout, right? Because we mentioned it, I've gotten several people asking me in email saying, how do you get into that? And I'm like, I don't think there is a way, but maybe you could give us a direction to say yes or no.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the question. And it is, so we announced it on May 9th. There's a blog post and we can link to that hopefully in your show notes. I know you all do a great job providing extra additional resources for your topic. So it is not an open, we don't have an open invitation.
Yeah.
We don't have an open invitation.
Thank you, Kim. I know we couldn't talk about a lot, but just to confirm, the article kind of alluded to the fact that it was an early access for everyone. It's not. It's really something that Microsoft's doing for their internal resources testing. It's a pre-rollout thing to the point where you're not even letting us, sort of maybe asking fervently MVPs to get familiar. We don't have, we'll go on to a new topic here because we understand.
It's a case of the editor making it a big headline,
Yeah, it was really written as like a, hey, you should get into this, and there's not a get into, folks. Trust me, I'm trying. Okay, for PowerPoint specifically, or maybe this is for presentations and presenting. What excites you about Copilot over something like Morph that I feel was a major addition to PowerPoint? What have we not brought up that, you know, you'd like to let everybody kind of know about, or what can you tell us about? What's a big vision or something exciting?
Wow, that is a great question. And it's like saying, you know, which is your favorite children? Or, you know, which flower is your favorite? You know, being a gardener, I'm like, I love them all. Wow, that is such a great question. For me, the most exciting opportunity we have in front of us is really to create a better experience for the people using PowerPoint so they can really feel and be proud of the presentation that they're creating or that they're giving. Because I think, again, you know, presenting or telling a story and visual elements, adding the visual elements for an you know, to really, really engage people and make it more impactful is one of the hardest things we can do. And the amount of creativity and skill that it takes is incredible. And to be able to provide almost a superpower to people through is just, it's really like, it almost brings me to tears in my excitement. And also as a writer, I know how to paint with words. I know how to do that. And I appreciate art and great design and layout. And I'm not the person you choose to first create it. Like, there is someone I look for to help with that, to help me. I know my superpower, and I, you know, build my team of people and tools so that it all can come together. And for PowerPoint to be someone's, you know, preferred tool and partner, that to me is just incredible. Whether it is a three-year-old getting ready to put together, you know, a story ahead of Grandparents' Day or Father's Day or, you know, a best friend's birthday, or someone making their pitch for funding for an idea or a not-for-profit, or just a silly, fun game night to relieve the stress and better connect, you know, with people. This is incredible. And we have an opportunity to help people, you know, create those moments and exchange, you know, really life-changing experiences. It sounds, you know, really big and kind of cheesy, but for me, that's what it's all about.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that. It's just beautiful.
Sandy, wrap us up with something. This has been phenomenal.
Well, actually, I'm going to bring Nolan in. Nolan, you know, he knows that you never really like Microsoft as an organization doesn't talk about its competition, but there are several new presentation offerings that talk about AI, and, you know, like Google Slides and possibly Apple Keynote will be keeping up with their own AI powered features. Do you see Copilot or AI in particular as an asset to keep PowerPoint adoption of these other offerings a concern?
Yeah, I think, again, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, this transformation that we're going through right now with AI and large language models is truly transformational for the entire industry. And it opens up all kinds of new capabilities for companies to take and transform into value for their customers and to solve really important problems for people. And so, you know, it really is, you know, for us, this opportunity to look at, you know, what is possible. And when I say us, it's all of us. It's an entire industry. What is possible and what can be done? And I do also want to say, like, and just because it can be done, should it be done? We need to be asking ourselves, you know, that question as well now. And so, you know, it's a time of great possibility. And it's really fun to, I will say, try to keep up with all the news and innovation that we see going on, and just learn a whole lot more as we continue. For us, I mean, we're a mission-driven organization, and I cannot believe, you know, we've been talking for over 30 minutes and I have not said our mission once, but it is to empower people and organizations to tell the world's most compelling stories to anyone, anywhere, at any time. And for us, that's what it's all about. And we just, the day we forget that, that's going to be a really bad day. And so it's my job and the amazing people that I partner with to ensure that we never forget that.
Thank you, Kim. Your time is in demand, and everyone joining us thanks you very much for your time. This is a wrap to an episode, a conversation, but it feels like the start of a conversation everyone is going to be having over the next, I don't know, 2-3 years as Copilot is released and we start updating our presentation design, our presenting workflows, and just basically a lot of the ways we have worked are going to be evolving and changing. I think it's all really a start of things right now. So thank you for joining us. Thanks everyone for listening in. It's been a great conversation. Don't go away. We've got some pro and tech tips.
Okay, I'll get started. So this is something I stumbled over. I think it was our last podcast. Remember User Voice? We used to have User Voice, and we had this discussion about, wait, that went away.
And none of us could remember the website address.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to clarify, and we will have a link to it in the show notes, but the PowerPoint community is available for you to go on to ask questions. You can promote it on Twitter and ask people to upvote it if you're really passionate about it. But it's a great way to get help. File concerns, problems, that sort of thing. So it's
while
there.
While we got Kim, can you verify that's actually looked at internally at Microsoft?
Yes, it is. And you know, frankly, if I can build on Sandy's tech tip, not only is it looked at, do we pay a lot of attention to that? We also are working hard to get even better at closing the loop there so that when we take that feedback and incorporate it into the product, we let y'all know that we did that and how we did it. So that is excellent. We absolutely listen to that signal.
How will we get that information, Kim?
Yeah. So what ends up happening is a lot of the ideas, they're almost in threads. And so you will actually see members of our team log in and reply and let folks know that something's coming, something's fixed. And so there's two things you can do to also be able to experience those fixes first. One is become an M365 insider. When you are an insider, then you have some of the earliest access to the improvements that we make across the M365 suite of products that includes Word, PowerPoint, Excel, OneNote, Teams. So many of our products use the Microsoft 365 Insider. There's also a great blog there where you can learn the latest, and oftentimes it has tips and tricks in how to actually use these new features. We also love the feedback that comes back from our insiders. And so that's first opportunity to try. You have early access. Give us feedback. It is absolutely so helpful in making our product better and ensuring that it's ready to roll further out into production. The other thing is send us feedback from inside the apps. And when you do it, click the button that says include your email. If you include your email, if we have a question, we can email you back and we can ask you for more information. And so often we'll read a piece of feedback, we'll either have a question of, ooh, might it be this or might it be that, or we're not sure if we fixed it, but we likely have. If we have your email, we can email you back. We can tell you, we can ask the question, we can ask for more information, or we can tell you, hey, we have this fix. It's coming out in, you know, the following update, and email us back if it didn't actually address your problem. So if you would do that for us, we would be, and we all are already, so grateful for that.
Okay, well, so everybody just go find something to send a frown or send a smile. In PowerPoint, you go under File, it's at the bottom, Feedback. And I will tell you, I can tell you this, is not an NDA thing. Microsoft, when we're communicating with them, hey, we've experienced this, or somebody told me about this, they'll literally say, could you send a frown for that? Instead of asking and like me giving a full report, they're like, just recreate it and send a frown, and that'll be with our engineering team immediately. So I know it's, thanks, Kim. So my pro and tech tip, I kind of changed my, just like yesterday, I was going, okay, you know, I'm not going to do that one. I got one for next episode, folks. It's really good. After reading this article where it said, you know, things are co-pilots, it got me thinking. And then I found this great website, which is what I'm going to give. It's a Microsoft page. But Bing is a co-pilot was kind of like this, like, wait a minute. That was like a light bulb. I read this article and I go back over to Bing, and you go to the Bing announcement and it says, introducing the new Bing, your AI-powered co-pilot for the web. I'm like, okay, how did I miss that when I did the whole, you know, early access and this and that? Check out this overview page for a glimpse into the evolution of things that are becoming capabilities for us. And it's all Bing oriented, but, you know, turn your ideas into images, which is pretty cool because Bing is basically uses the DALL-E engine, one of the most robust image creations, you know, refine your search, get summarized answers. And if you ask it what the Microsoft engine, if you ask it what the Microsoft mission statement is, it says exactly word for word what Kim said. I just tested it. Anyways, so there's mine. I'll give a link to it, but it's because it's kind of hard to, it's a form. I don't have an actual link for this. I have to give the URL in the notes. I can't tell you, just go to search.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's got a lot of information. It's good marketing, but it's good stuff. Hey, Kim, thanks again for joining us. Thank you for Pro and Tech Tips, everyone. We'll do some quick sign-offs and call it a wrap. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. You can check us out at tlccreative.com. We have vxpmeeting.com for our virtual and hybrid event platform, and the PowerPoint blog for all kinds of stuff about PowerPoint and presenting, and it just kind of keeps spilling out and going and going.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz and the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as at PPTWhiz.
And I'm Kim Denny, head of product for Microsoft PowerPoint, and very thankful guest on this week's edition of the Presentation Podcast.
Thanks, Kim. I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you.
The future is changing with AI-powered tools. Thank you, Kim, for talking about Copilot. We look forward to seeing what it does to our presentation soon. Thank you, everyone, for joining us at the Presentation Podcast. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.